Now turn with me in the scriptures to the first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Let us hear the word of God. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. And then our second reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now this morning we're continuing our series in Proverbs, and we've called the series Pondering Proverbs. And so last week, if you remember, we looked at what is doctrine. We looked at the importance of doctrine. Is good doctrine important? Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Doctrine is important. A good doctrine is very important. But what is the content of good doctrine? Well, we looked at certain aspects of good doctrine, good teaching. We saw that the Hebrew word is the word for retaining instruction. It's receiving that which is wise and careful and godly. And faithful preachers will preach good doctrine. They will preach the truth. Because as the Apostle Paul tells us, he speaks about pure doctrine and sound doctrine. But where did Solomon get this teaching from? Where did Solomon get good, solid instruction from? Well, of course, as a man who had grown up under the tutelage and oversight of godly teachers in Israel, there's one source. But particularly, as he reminds us here, of his father, David, and indeed of his mother as well. And we need to realize that when we're reading the Proverbs, we're not reading just the wise thoughts of a wise man. He is following in a faithful line of instructors, of parents who brought their children up in the way they should go. We read in Solomon again later on that you should train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. I read from 1 Kings and chapter 2 for a reason. Because we need to have in our minds, Solomon is an older man here in Proverbs, perhaps middle-aged, and he's remembering what his father has taught him under the guidance of the Holy Spirit what he had taught him as a boy, and particularly when David passed from the stage of this life. 1 Kings chapter 2 speaks of David's leaving this world. A great man of God, yes, a flawed man of God, but a man after God's own heart. He leaves a wonderful legacy. He's not flawless, he's not sinless, but he leaves a legacy to particularly to Solomon and others. He reminds Solomon that he should keep the charge of the Lord. This is 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. It's the first thing, to walk in his ways. The second thing is to keep his statutes. Of course, literally, the walk could be here, he should act according to God's word. The word keep is to do with retain, and we'll see how that develops in Proverbs chapter 4. To keep his statutes, to keep his instructions, and his commandments. There's different words to describe the law and the word of God. And his testimonies. And you read about these various words in Psalm 119. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. In other words, Solomon, follow the Lord's instruction. Stay close to the Lord's commandments and judgments. And the Lord will bless you. How different to the teaching of the world. Follow your heart. Follow your desires. Follow your whims and fancies. Get into the latest fashion or fad. And you'll be prospering. So different. Such a contrast. David then goes on to remind Solomon that the Lord may continue his word. Now, Solomon, you're not alone. You're not a lonely figure following the Lord's commands. You're in a great line of faithful men and women who have followed closely to the Lord. Because God has promised me that if my children walk according to God's word, then the throne of Israel will never be unoccupied from one of my descendants. So you see, when we read Proverbs, we need to just have a mind, a thought of what the background is. Perhaps, we're not sure, but perhaps Solomon was writing these words and he was remembering that occasion when his father, on his deathbed, gave him these instructions. Notice Solomon's words. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. And then in verse 3, for I was my father's son. Now, of course, we know that Solomon is not David's only son. But here, in a sense, he was the most precious son. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Of course, Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. You can read about how he was brought forth and the family of David and Bathsheba and the tragic events that came out of. But you can read about that in 2 Samuel. But I want us to read 2 Samuel 11. But I want us just to think for a moment of how is Solomon tender and only beloved? How is he? Well, first of all, he's loved by his parents. That's very clear. David and Bathsheba loved Solomon. He's going to be a man of peace. They longed and they prayed that he would become a man of God. Now, of course, he wasn't flawless like his father. He wasn't sinless, but he kept to the law of God. And we know that though he was taught well, he fell away, and we believe Ecclesiastes is his testimony of his restoration. But the second thing is, Jedidiah, the prophet of God, proclaimed that the Lord loved him. 2 Samuel 12:25. And thirdly, and most significantly, was that Solomon was part of the covenant line of the Messiah. So Solomon here is not just writing as a very wise philosopher. He's writing as a very loved son and a very loved believer. Here, in this section, he repeats what he had learned. He did not forget what he had learned, and he was not ashamed of what he had learned. Solomon is instructing his son, who will be brought forth of Solomon's line, and he is instructing him as a father would give someone, a son, something very precious. Solomon was very wealthy. You read about his wealth. You read about his attainments. You read about his palaces. You read about his trade. You read about the gold that is so plentiful in the time of Solomon that it's not even measured. But Solomon has something even more precious to pass on to his son. You could imagine this as an heirloom, something that's passed down through the generations. And Solomon is passing on to his son and to those who are of the faith, the same faith in God, same belief, an heirloom of wisdom, of instruction. He hands down royal power, great possessions, national fame to his son, Rehoboam, but he gives him even something more precious. Instruction and wisdom that will keep Rehoboam all his days. That's why studying the Old Testament is important, to give us a foundation to understand the further instructions in the New Testament. So there's just four things I want us to, as it were, stay with this morning, to take onto our hearts and to think about and to ponder. And the first thing is this. It's found in verse 4. He taught me and said unto me. Solomon is here remembering what his father told him. Let thine heart retain my words. Retain my words. Retain them. What does this mean? To store them up. To keep my commandments. Retain is a word that perhaps we use in more industrial sense. We retain things. We put barriers around things. We retain them. We restrict them. But that's not the idea here. We are to store them. We are to retain them, and we are to keep them. To keep my commandments and live. Now, of course, this is not unique. The Lord's told Moses already, if you read the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, you will read these words again and again and again. Keep my commandments. You read some of the later prophets and the same is repeated, the same refrain. Keep my commandments, retain my commandments and live. Retain them. Don't let them slip. That's the idea. Don't let them slide away. Keep them close. I wonder if we were to just even take that truth, to really store up God's word in our hearts, to commit ourselves to meditate and to memorize on the simple truths of God's word. Would our faith and our lives not be so different? I wonder, is that something that we can learn from Solomon? To keep, to retain, as you could put it like this, to hide God's word in our hearts. When was the last time we really sat down and asked the Lord, Lord, I want to hide this truth. I want to know this truth. I want to memorize this truth. Whatever it might be. I want to keep your word. And we need to remember this. Throughout the scriptures, there is a promise linked with this instruction. Keep my commandments and live. And live. And you could add to that, live a life pleasing to the Lord. Live a life pleasing in a world that is displeasing to God. Live a life of holiness. Live a life of sweetness. And in New Testament language, live a life that's Christ-like. That's what Solomon is seeking to encourage us. That's what the Holy Spirit throughout the generations has done for the people of God. As they retain and keep God's commandments, they live. This is the work of the Spirit. We can't do this on our own. Even if we have great minds and great memories, and some of us once upon a time could remember all kinds of things, and we can't remember very much now, but we remember truths that we learned as children. Scriptures that have never left us. And the Lord has honored those truths to us throughout our age, throughout our lives. One man puts it like this: keep my commandments, and thou shalt enjoy a long and happy and God-honoring life. This isn't just speaking of life in this world, in temporal life, in physical life. Of course, this is spiritual language. So retain the word of God, or retain the words of God. Second thing is this: attain the words of God. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. This word attain, when you start to look at this word in its original language, you will find that it actually has more to do with buying or purchasing than it has with just keeping. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, just to give you an example, Solomon uses these words: buy the truth and sell it not. That's the word in the original language. Buy the truth. Buy it and sell it not. Now, of course, you could immediately think that this is to do with buying a copy of the Bible, but that's not what Solomon's saying. But I hope we all have a copy of the Scriptures, a faithful copy of the Scriptures. Buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, treat it as a precious possession. Once you have the wisdom and the Word of God, don't let it go easily from you. If a great trader, or in old times, a trader or a merchant, or a very influential businessman was to acquire something of worth, he wouldn't let it go for very little. He would expect to make a great investment. So it is with God's word. We don't buy it, as it were, from God. But we should have the same approach. How can we buy it? I thought for a little while about this. Perhaps the first thing Of course, the obvious thing is to read God's Word. To read God's Word. To invest in God's Word. I'm not saying that we can buy God's Word in this sense, that we can buy it from God. But we can invest ourselves in it. We can invest our time and our energy and our mental ability in the Word of God. But there's a second thing. We should listen to older preachers. Older preachers and men who know God's Word. We should buy it. It should be seen as precious. In times past, when the Bible was opened and the preacher was preaching, people would run to hear God's Word. In times of revival in England and Scotland and in America, there were great times where people ran for the instruction from God's Word. Sadly, very few people run to hear God's Word today. Listen to older preachers, godly Bible teachers, men who are faithful in the Word of God, faithful expositors of Scripture. That's why a teaching service is so important. That's the instruction to the mind and to the heart. And the Holy Spirit takes those truths and applies them home. This church has been known for a faithful expository ministry for over 50 years. Men here have preached and taught the Word of God. And the Lord has blessed. And numbers aren't everything. Numbers aren't everything. We live in a day when people would rather, like in Paul's instruction to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, they have itching ears. They want the new fashion or the new ways or the new approaches, but they forget something. You're leaving behind the truth of God's Word. So attain it. Keep it. Retain it. And then attain it. This is where purchase or invest ourselves in it. And the last thing is in verse 6. Maintain a dutiful study of God's Word. Proverbs 4 verse 6. Forsake or not. Or you could put it like this in verse 5. Forget it not. Don't decline from the words of my mouth. Don't turn away from them. They might be difficult. It might seem strict. But remember, if you keep my commandments and live, that's the, as it were, that's the thing that moderates everything. Keep my commandments and live. So forget it not, decline not from it, forsake or not. That's so important. Attain or maintain. Maintain. And here is where Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, helps us to think now with biblical imagery. If the first part was about handing on an heirloom, Solomon now speaks of wisdom and God's wisdom as a woman, a faithful, wise woman. And that's very important. He says, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. There's four things. Just summarize them very quickly. Forsake her not. Don't abandon her. Don't leave her aside. Don't neglect God's word. Yes, Solomon. Don't neglect reading God's word. By the way, God gave clear instructions that the kings of Israel should read God's word every day. They shall be very familiar with the instructions of God. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. What a beautiful promise. She shall preserve thee. She won't preserve thee from all harm, but she'll preserve thee in your faith. She won't preserve thee from all attacks and all assaults of the devil, but she will preserve thee ultimately. In the final analysis, she will preserve thee. And then third, love her. Love her. Love wisdom. And this, of course, is why we as those who have a New Testament in our hands can begin to think of other texts that lend themselves into this text. Love her, and again the promise, she shall keep thee. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. She shall keep thee. Love her in some ways. Sorry, and keeping her, one man puts it like this. She shall keep thee is the picture of a sentry standing guard over our hearts and our minds. And we need a guard in our day. We need to gird up the loins of our minds, but we also need a sentry to keep us and to protect us. In old times, a sentry would be on the outer walls of a great palace, and they would be looking out for any enemies. And we need a sentry on our hearts. We need one to guard our hearts in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul puts it. That one, of course, is Christ. But how does he guard our hearts? Through his word. Through his word. And this message of guarding and acting as a sentry is so important. We are so prone, as Bunyan and his unique way pictures the believer with an ear gate and an eye gate, and that which goes in through our eyes and that goes in through our ears influences our thinking and our acting. And so when we come to this text, we need to remember that as we love the scriptures, and as we love the scriptures not because we worship the scriptures, but because we love the God of the scriptures, we will have a sentry on our minds and on our hearts. We as people are so prone, even young people and older people are so prone, so tempted to give in to the emotion of the moment or the sentiment of the moment. But we need to remember as believers, we have been given an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. And if Solomon were to apply this in a New Testament way, of course, like the Apostle Paul, he would think of these truths of retaining, attaining, and maintaining, knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. The third person of the Trinity reveals the truth of God to us. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ brings us into the family of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is that truth. He is the one who brings forth grace and truth married together. And if we're trusting in Christ this morning, then we have God's word, the Son of God, the incarnate word, as our Savior. But we also have the written word to help us in our living for God. And we have the Holy Spirit, who helps us and teaches us and instructs us. And very practically, if we come across a passage of scripture that we don't quite understand, pray. Ask the Lord for illumination. The Holy Spirit delights to teach his people. If we come across a passage of Scripture that we don't understand and we feel like we're all at sea, then note it down and then move on. And it's amazing how later on, even in the reading that morning or the next morning or even later on, the Holy Spirit reminds us of various texts that are linked in with that particular text. You see, the Bible is God's word, but it can only be understood with the help of God. And Solomon here, as the representative of the line of Messiah, shows us something. He was the wisest man of his generation, but he wasn't wisdom itself. Jesus Christ is wisdom itself. Jesus Christ is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But Solomon's revealing to us here something that we need to remember. He prayed for wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3. God appeared to him in a dream and said to Solomon, you can have, well, let me read the words. This is what God said to Solomon. He said these words. Ask what I shall give thee. Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon reminds the Lord of his kindness and his grace to him in giving him the throne of his father. And he's now his king, but he's very, very young. He asks, not for riches, not for power, not for influence, but for wisdom. And the Lord was pleased by this. And the Lord says in verse 10, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself unto understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. And as believers in Christ this morning, we have been given a wise and understanding heart. We're not wise as some of the sages of old. Perhaps our words will never be written down and recorded, but we're wise in certain ways. We're wise unto salvation. We're wise unto the gospel. We're wise unto the truth as revealed in Jesus Christ. We're wise when we read the Word of God and we feed the mind with the Word of God. And we're not only wise, but we are something else. We have this gift from God. We have this truth from God. We have Christ as our Savior. And if you like, if you are a Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are wiser, as David says, than all others. To know Christ is wisdom itself. To love God's word means that we'll grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom of the truth. And to live for God in this topsy-turvy world, we can live consistently for God because we keep close to God's word. Oh, to belong to the Lord this morning. Oh, to know his grace. Oh, to know his truth. Oh, to know Christ as our Savior. Oh, to know that when we read the scriptures, we are reading our God instructing us in love and mercy. This is the life of the Christian. And this is the wise way. O God, our gracious Father, how thankful we are that as we sit here this morning, thy hand has been upon us all our days. Thou hast kept us in thy grace and providence. Thou hast sustained us. Thou hast given us life and breath. Thou hast given us minds to think. O Lord, we thank thee for all thy gifts to us. We thank thee most of all for our salvation that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, for the work of thy Spirit in awakening us and convicting us and drawing us. We thank thee, O Lord, for the gospel. And we thank thee, O Lord, that in this world we can know thee, we can love thee, we can walk with thee. We thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that thou wilt help us to retain it, to attain it, to invest in it, and to maintain a consistent reading and meditation and consideration of thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless each one here this morning, young and old. Give us appetites for thy word and a delight in thy truth. For, O Lord, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and that in him we can know thee as our God and our Heavenly Father. O, hear our prayers. Bless us this morning. Keep us in the grace and mercy of God. O, that thou wilt continue to provide for our every need in this day. We ask all these mercies, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for his sake. Amen.